niche down to scale up. It's a very big topic, counterintuitive, and maybe I could say the good news is that majority of founders have heard about narrowing down their target market. However, what I see is that there is a gap between their awareness of this concept and their ability to execute it effectively. They often believe that they have already niched down and that further narrowing isn't possible.
Bonanza Growth Podcast, innovation, strategy, and UX for SaaS. Bonanza Studios is a growth consultancy for SaaS and fintech startups. Every SaaS business needs to fight in three different battles. First, product market fit, discovering a growing marketing and designing a compelling and undeniable solution to meet that demand. Second, product-led growth, turning your product into a growth vehicle by leveraging outcome-driven UX design. And third, creative marketing and organic brand building. If you're looking for a reliable partner to drive growth, check out our website at bonanza-studios.com.
Behrad here, and in this episode, I would like to talk about four key lessons I picked up from working with over 50 early stage startups, helping them achieve their product market fit. And these are the points that are generally true for many early stage startups. The first point is niche down to scale up. This is often a counterintuitive point for founders. Good news is that some of the founders already get it, but even those that they know about this topic, they cannot fully execute on it. There is a gap between their awareness of the concept and their ability to execute effectively. They often believe that they have already niched down and that further narrowing isn't possible. However, after our initial workshops, typically we are often able to further refine their focus. For instance, a client of ours initially wanted to sell their SaaS contracting solution to marketing agencies across Europe. This was too broad a target market, in my opinion. Then we, through more back and forth, we realized that, hey, why don't we focus on the UK market? Since that's where they are based. They know the culture. They know how to, you know, lead conversations. Cultural aspects plays a huge factor in selling. So this was an improvement, but still wasn't specific enough. You know, how many marketing agencies are active in the UK market? Ones that are permanently based there, the ones that they have a branch there, the ones that, although they are not permanently based or they don't have a branch, but they are bidding heavily. When you factor in all these different businesses into your equation, the numbers goes over 50,000 or something. So then we learned that their offering is particularly well suited for agencies that sell repeatable services like SEO services. As a result, our new target market became marketing agencies in the UK that sell repeatable services. We narrowed down their focus from across Europe to the UK, and then narrowed down their focus around repeatable services. Then their target audience narrowed down from millions to 12,000. Especially at early stage, you can work with 12,000, but not with millions of businesses. Again, when you look at the market, you need to factor in all the complexity to a market. It's a market is an ecosystem. You don't only have to compete with agencies that are permanently based. Big agencies have multiple branches in different markets. There are agencies that are not are active in the market they want to become. They want to find their foot in the door. They're bidding heavily. There are different variables play into calculating your total addressable market, right? So you really want to minimize as much of variables to be able to achieve a reliable. And also what I will say is that total addressable market size is a good indication, but that's not enough of indication. If you really wanted to rely on that number, you know, well, that was a good start, but that's not a number I'm really interested in so much. I'm more interested in understanding the serviceable, total serviceable market. Out of your total addressable market, often we narrow it down to total serviceable market. In this case, marketing agencies that sell repeatable services in the UK. Second point, really important as well, customer discovery. It's so core and ongoing bottleneck for us when working with new clients. Of course, you know, we just met them and we have to rely heavily on their experience, especially the experience of the founders, to guide our process. However, it's becoming increasingly clear to me that the founders are more focused on selling than on actively listening to the needs of their potential clients. And customer discovery is not about selling. It's not about pitching. It's about listening. It's about establishing empathy. It's about understanding. Customer discovery is an art form centered on active listening and empathy. And it's so core and essential and pivotal and crucial to dedicate your time to conduct at least 10 to 20 customer discovery interviews, that you are going there with open ears and trying to learn and understand the bottlenecks in the way of growing your potential client businesses. And it's getting to a point that as soon as we want to work with the clients, and when I watch some of the interviews that they've conducted with their potential clients, as soon as I see that they just want to pitch their product rather than listening to them, I will try to take over that assignment from the founding team because they're busy and try to do it ourselves. And what I would say is that customer discovery is a continuous project. You should keep having these calls from now till forever you are working on your business. Third point, very important as well, is direct outreach is more useful and effective for you at early stages than paid marketing. So important. If you don't get this one right, you dry your runway so fast. Big mistake. Early stage startups activate the paid marketing motion too early. It's unnecessary at this point, in my opinion. Once you niche down enough, you are dealing with a selected list of businesses. In previous example, 12,000. First of all, it's really difficult to target 12,000 through paid ads. Your cost per click goes to the roof, because if you want to have a paid marketing campaign, let's say on LinkedIn, at least you want to have a target audience between 100,000 to 1 million. So it wouldn't be too expensive to reach out to them. Again, you are at early stage phases of your business. You don't have that paid marketing budget to really go after this selected list via paid. So it's more important and more effective for you to leverage direct outreach channels like email and phone, because that gives you a scale you need at lower cost. Of course, you cannot call all the 12,000, but you can call those who mention initial interest to proceed and talk to you further. Fourth, 2-week cycle of iteration. Massive point, core. I've seen founders still wrestling with their initial ideas 9 months after raising the first round. They are already failed and they don't know it yet. Every 2 weeks, you need to be able to iterate on your core assumption and offering. Typically, based on the data, it takes a year to get to your product market fit. And if you're married to your initial ideas and you're not willing to change and iterate and pivot, you will fail. That's clear as daylight to me. I hope these points shed some light, help you strategize better for 2024. In case you have questions, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn. Until the next episode, I wish you pleasant times.
Thank you for listening to this episode. For more information, go to bonanza-studios.com.